The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Mark Bealey's Fear of the Walking Dead online viewing party. It is Season 4, Episode 2. It's Sunday, 4:22, and it's also Earth Day, so happy Earth Day to those of you who pay attention to that sort of thing, which I try to. So tonight's show, as all shows, contains spoilers up through the last episode and anything from current AMC official promo materials. So welcome to Episode 2 of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4. Current theory is that the front 8 episodes of Fear will wrap with mid-season finale Episode 8 around June 10th. Then likely to resume around mid-August so that the back half lines up with Season 9 of The Walking Dead Classic, probably in October. All this is based on prior patterns and could change. Stay tuned for updates as we get them. So sorry. So typically we start the show a half hour before the new episode airs each week. And we will have a recap on the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 o'clock, we go dark or mute and watch tonight's new show together with episode ratings from 1 through 10, 1 being, oh my God, this is horrible, and 10 being fantastic. And we'll have commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions to be discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that is presented to us. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314. Hopefully between 8:30 and 9, if you can, then we can talk freely. If you call during the show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And I have a link. We usually post those on our Facebook page and on Twitter. And so if you're unable to join us by 9 p.m., you can still go to each episode link later after the show is over and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. Episode 2 tonight is called Another Day in the Diamond. The official AMC synopsis is, a troubled survivor finds allies in an unexpected place. The life Madison has fought to build comes under threat. And then I grabbed a couple of additional synopses links for you guys. I'll pull the first one up, which is from express.co.uk. I don't know this source that well. Home of the Daily and Sunday Express, so a British source. And it just says, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 2, What Will Happen in Another Day in the Diamonds. They have a video, which is a sneak peek, which you guys can also see on AMC.com. And they say, Episode 2 is called Another Day in the Diamond and will be airing tonight, Sunday, April 22nd, on AMC in America. However, UK fans are going to be waiting a couple of weeks with the episode not set to air in the UK until Monday the 30th on AMC on BT TV. Fear the Walking Dead Season 4 will be premiering in Britain on April 23rd, meaning that the program will be a couple episodes behind America. A synopsis for the forthcoming installment from The Walking Dead spinoff reads, a troubled survivor finds allies in an unexpected place. The things I just read you. A teaser trailer was released for the episode, and it offers up some more clues about what to expect. So, the preview starts with Madison Clark. There's a couple previews, so this is talking about one of them. It starts with Madison Clark being held at gunpoint by an unseen figure. The hand looks masculine, but I assume. So, Madison appears to be fighting for her life as she tells the person, quote, "You have a settlement, strong walls, plenty of food, good people," end quote. The scene cuts to the Del Diamond Baseball Museum community as Nick Clark kisses his girlfriend Luciana Galvez goodbye as she drives off on a mission. Quote, "You make sure she comes back this time," Frank warns Luciana's companion. As the trailer moves on, there is sudden panic as a woman yells, "Lock the gate." We return to the Diamond community as it looks like Nick is still trying to find his family. And again, these are not spoilers. This is straight off the sneak preview trailer. He points to a map with a circle on it, suggesting that his mother and sister are outside of it. Quote, "If your family's out there, find them," Nick later tells a young girl. Meanwhile, Althea, played by Maggie Grace, new cast member, is being questioned by as an interrogator asks her, "That flag isn't yours." She shakes her head as Morgan Jones tells their captors, "We're not who you think we are." But it seems his words are going unheeded by the group that stopped them. If you guys remember last week, it looked an awful lot like our intrepid heroes, Nick and Alicia, and I think Madison was with them, a couple other people, possibly even Strand. As the trailer progresses, it appears that Nick is really landing himself in trouble as his car is surrounded by walkers. "Ditch the truck," Luciana says to him over a walkie-talkie, but Nick is understandably reluctant to do so. As the teaser comes to a close, Victor Strand appropriately says to Madison, "And so ends our broadcast." So that is a note for that. I'm going to check the chat room, see if anybody's with us. And Miss Kelly has joined us. So always happy to have her here. Let's give her a welcome. I'm going to check and make sure she can hear me because sometimes that is a bit of a difficulty. So we like to be sure that everybody can hear and has a little time before we get started live so that we don't miss anything. So let me pull up. I have three different articles that have commentary amounting to an extended synopsis for tonight's episode. So I'm going to read all three of them. The second one that I have is from comicbook.com. that we refer to quite often. Let me see if I can pull that up for you guys. Is that page is misbehaving. Come on. Paste and go. That's how this works. Thank you. Okay, so Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 2 will happen another day in the Diamond. No. It is not going back to the link I needed to go to. I apologize, you guys. Oh, you know, my malware thing is being an idiot. Please stop blocking things that have to do with my show. I did not ask you. Okay, so Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 2, Another Day in the Diamond, also titled. This is by Brandon Davis. It was written on the 22nd. So, Fear the Walking Dead, Episode 4, 2, is entitled Official Synopsis. You guys know I skip that stuff because I don't need to read it to you four times. So, while the Season 4 premiere was heavily influenced by The Walking Dead and Morgan Jones journeyed from one show to another for a crossover event, the new episode of Fear the Walking Dead will return to its roots. While the Now storyline will briefly continue to collision between Morgan and the Clark family, the Then story will be centered on the new life Madison has built for her family and friends. They have taken refuge at a baseball stadium in the days since the dam explosion, which took place in Season 3. Furthering the importance of pace of the episode, a new villain comes along to set the stage for an intriguing new storyline. I always quote, "I always resist calling people villains or goodies or baddies," Morgan actor Lenny James told comicbook.com. "It is just that we haven't been following their story, so we meet them at the particular point of what they've evolved into, but if it was them who we followed from when they woke up in the hospital or when they first encountered the New World Order, maybe we'd be more sympathetic to them than we are when we meet them here. I think it's one of the fascinating things of not just this world, but the storytellers that we have on both Fear and The Walking Dead Classic, is that they can keep coming up with new evolutions of groups of people who have decided the way in which they're going to exist and survive in the post-apocalyptic world. Quote, this new group are no less fascinating than others we've met, and they do what they do in a particular way that is not like the Saviors, whatever comparisons they may well be. They have a particular way of getting what they want to get and surviving in the way that they want to survive, and it's really cool. I think fans are going to get into the way this particular group gets the job done because it's quite smart. I'm looking forward to the fans being introduced to them. And that's end quote from Lenny James. And that's pretty much the end of that synopsis. So let me go to number three. And while I am setting that up, I'm going to take a quick peek in the chat room in a hot second and see if Miss Joan or anybody of the friends have joined us. And Kelly can hear me, and Miss Joan has in fact joined us. So I'm going to say yay for both of those things. Very happy. Thank you. Very glad you could join us. Joan, I hope you can hear me too. But I don't know. Somebody let me know if you can't, if you can. So next section, writers and directors profiles. And I am so thankful that tonight I don't have to rush two episodes into one thing because I did not have my half hour chat before last week's episode. So the writers and directors profiles I do have for tonight. Tonight's episode was also written by last week's writers who are new, those showrunners, Andrew Chambliss and Ian B. Goldberg. And it was directed by Michael Satrazemis. Yes, this name should sound familiar to you. So Michael Satrazemis, Michael Edison Satrazemis, his nickname Satro, is known for his work on The Walking Dead, the movie The Crow from 94, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues from 2013. He's done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf. He directed an episode of Stranger Things and more. Mike has been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of Walking Dead, starting with Gut, Season 1, Episode 2 in 2010. He has been second unit director of photography for three episodes until 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 2017, and that ended with Monster, Season 8, Episode 3. He has directed 12 prior episodes to tonight of The Walking Dead Classic, starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14. And I actually have a little Grove wave that I'm going to steal and pull out here. Just because I never get to use it. Yes, Lizzie, look at the flowers. Okay, so he directed The Grove, and the last one that he directed was episode 14 this season, Still Gotta Mean Something, where Rick broke his word in that bar. Now, I looked around online. I have a Wikia site that I often get data from. They say he is the director tonight, but I do want to note for you guys to be transparent that IMDb only lists him as director for two episodes of Fear, which are Season 4, Episode 8, and Episode 10. And I do not have an explanation for this, but I'm going to go ahead and profile him until I hear differently. Like when we watch the episode tonight, if anybody catches who the director is and it's not Michael, let me know. So the writers, new showrunner Andrew Chambliss, I did his profile last week, but I'm going to read it again because these guys are both new. He's been heavily involved as a producer for Once Upon a Time for several seasons, from 2012 to 2017. He was a story editor for Vampire Diaries, also Spartacus, Dollhouse, and Bionic Woman, the 2007 version. This is tonight his second involvement with the Walking Dead franchise. I guess he'll be ongoing because he'll be a showrunner when he's not writing or producing something. And his partner, new showrunner Ian Goldberg, also worked on Once Upon a Time as a writer and a producer, as well as other TV shows. This will also be his second involvement with The Walking Dead, well, with the franchise, technically with Fear, because I don't think they worked on Walking Dead Classic. So I'm just going to actually change my notes to reflect that, so I don't screw that up again. And next we have trivia. I'm going to check the chat room real quick and see how we are doing. It is 8:44, so we got about another roughly 15 minutes that we can chit-chat. So there's a little conversation I'll share with you guys. Kelly has added that what I find fascinating is how the timelines ran at such a different speed in the two series. Now they are concurrent. I wonder if they will stay that way. They probably will. I have an article that I did not get to read to you guys last week, which they do an interview with Alicia Dunham Carey, and she mentions that flat out. They're using time jumps to make Fear line up properly so that Morgan's appearance is not all bizarre. Joan has also said, I wonder the same thing, although I heard the original may jump ahead now too, putting them ahead once again. The original is supposedly going to jump ahead of the war when they get to season 9, but I do not know how much they're going to jump, and that actually may be good because then it will cushion Morgan's transition a little better. And so, hang on just a second. Pardon me for a moment. I'm so sorry. Somebody's asking me something and does not realize I'm on the air. Okay, so that's the end of the comments in the chat room. So I'm going to go to the third synopsis article, Fear the Walking Dead, 402 synopsis, Another Day in the Diamond. This is from undeadwalking.com via the website FanSided. So they start off, quote, what do you think about The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, season 4 so far? The Walking Dead's Morgan Jones was certainly a welcome addition to the show, and fans are intrigued by new characters John Dory, played by Garrett Dillahunt, and Althea, who is played by Maggie Grace. But what's going on with the Clark family? Why did they ambush Althea's tank? What happened to them that they were on the road like that? And where the heck is Madison? Thankfully, this week's episode will offer some answers as we check in with Nick, Alicia, Strand, Luciana, and Madison. They have the official synopsis, which I'll skip again. They say, we have to wonder who the, quote, troubled survivor is. Could it be Morgan, or is there another new face to meet? Based on the previews, Madison and her family have a place to live, but there are always those out there that want to take it over. Madison has survived this long because she's willing to do anything it takes to protect her family, even if that means killing someone. She made it this far, and we have to think she's going to fight even harder when she finally finds a place to call her own in this crazy world. Her family struggled to follow her when they were at the ranch, but the situation is so different now. They have to stick together if they're going to continue surviving. And that is that for that article. So let me check in the chat room. We do not have any further comments, and that's fine. So I'm going to go down to the trivia. So trivia about tonight's episode. It was the 39th episode of Fear the Walking Dead series overall. It is the first appearance of the character Naomi, not the same one from Walking Dead Classic. First appearance of Cole. First appearance of Charlie. First appearance of entities known as the Vultures. And this is posted out there. So, also, I want to acknowledge two uncredited Vulture actors. Don Darrow, D-A-R-O, and Michelle Masker. They apparently are not credited in IMDb with appearing on the show. So I like to give people a little pat on the back because I know what that's like. So trivia of the last episode, episode 1, What's Your Story? This episode is written by Scott Gimple, the former showrunner of the TV series, along with Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, the current showrunners of Fear the Walking Dead. This makes Scott the first writer to work on both shows. This episode marks the return of Luciana Galvez, meaning last week, to the series after being absent since the season 3 episode Burning in Water, Drowning in Flame, aside from a non-speaking dream cameo in Sleigh Ride, which was a season ender. This is the first episode of either series in which the protagonist does not appear in the season premiere. John Dory makes a reference to Dory the fish from the 2003 Pixar film Finding Nemo. This will be the first and last appearance of Paul Rovia as a flashback. Also, first and last of Carol Pelletier and Rick Grimes. And they were all in flashbacks talking to Morgan before he ran off. There are no goofs and errors listed for last week's episode. Check in the chat room, see how we're doing. Same comments. So I will continue. We have cast birthdays this week. I'm going to read this one again. I read it last week, but it's actually his birthday, so I thought I would be nice and read it again. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Negan, April 22nd. He is from Seattle, Washington. Let's see who else we got here. Anne Mahoney, who played Olivia in Alexandria, is born on April 24th. She's from Rochester, New York. Austin Nichols, who played Spencer, is also April 24th, and he's from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jeffrey DeMunn, M-U-N-N, who played Dale, was born April 25th, and he's from Buffalo, New York. And Austin Emilio, who plays Dwight, his birthday is on April 27th, and he's from Austin, Texas. Isn't that convenient? So let's get some applause for everybody for their birthdays, and here we go. So So thank you guys for all your work on the show, past and present. You're very much appreciated. As a reminder to our listeners, don't forget to join us again next Sunday, April 29th, 8:30 p.m. EDT, for Fears Episode 3, which is called Good Out Here. I do have names and summaries for the rest of the mid-season, the front half. So Episode 3, Good Out Here, the synopsis is, Madison and Morgan try to help Nick find inner peace. A quest for revenge exacts its toll on the group. Episode 4 is called Buried. That'll air on May 6th. And it says, Al's questioning uncovers some surprising truths about the group's past. We don't know who Al is yet, just so you know, but this was actually posted. John Dory receives unexpected news. Episode 5 called Laura. By the way, that is Mother's Day on May 13th, so call your mother. The synopsis is, the arrival of a wounded visitor in John Dory's life forces him to change his ways. I have no idea if this is true, but I'm going to speculate it might be the lady who has the other gun he was looking for. Episode 6 called Just in Case. The synopsis is, Strand wrestles with Madison's decisions. Things take an unexpected turn at the stadium. That will air May 20th. Episode 7, The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now. The synopsis is, Madison's decision to help an adversary has unintended consequences. Meanwhile, John Dory's life hangs on the balance, and that's June 3rd. And the mid-season finale is Episode 8, No One's Gone. And synopsis is, Madison fights to preserve the life she worked so hard to build. Morgan tries to do the right thing. That will be June 10th. Then we'll have a break after June 10th. And I don't have an exact date, but I expect it to run into mid-August, where we'll have Fear Part 2. And then that should run straight into Walking Dead Classic in October. All right, checking the chat room. We're still doing the same stuff. So let's continue real quick. It's 8:52, so I'm going to try to squeeze this out here. Featured music. Because we're doing Fear now, we have more entries on there because Fear was a little bigger than Walking Dead Classic was about introducing music. I don't know how to describe this. You know, we got the names of music and it promoted new music and made a more of a point of that than Walking Dead Classic really did. So featured music from Season 4, Episode 1 is a song called My Old Ways by Dr. Dog, and that was the music playing during the Season 4 preview. So we have that, and I'll, of course, get you tonight's music next week. We'll always be a week behind. So I have a discussion link that I'm going to pull up, but we're not going to get into it right now because it is 8:53. I might start nibbling on it if I can get it set up and we have plenty of time, but let me see. Okay, I'm getting this up here now, and it's making me look at an ad first. So the things I do for you guys, I'm just kidding. So this is from Forbes, and then the title is, it was Lenny James's choice to leave The Walking Dead for Fear of the Walking Dead. And this is from April 6, 2018. It was written by Paul Tassi, who is a contributor for Forbes. Okay. So he says, let me check the chat room one more time before we get going. Okay. Quote, one of the strangest news items to come out of the past year of The Walking Dead was the fact that Morgan, Lenny James, was announced to be leaving the original show and heading to its spinoff, Fear the Walking Dead, uniting the shows in a meaningful way for the very first time. The how of this is now becoming clear. Fear the Walking Dead is moving east to Texas this season, and Morgan is splitting after the Negan War to head west to meet them. While I won't get into any details, yes, Fear has time-skipped its way to catch up to The Walking Dead, meaning no, this isn't some elaborate Morgan flashback again. But the why of this is also interesting. Many assumed that Lenny James was essentially ordered to make this move, either be killed off Walking Dead or go to its lower-rated spinoff, but that isn't how it went down at all. And to be transparent with you guys, I actually thought he was being forced to do it because the episode of Talking Dead where they announced this stuff, he looked very salty about it. But I may have been misinterpreting what all that was. So anyway, while the idea was suggested by Scott Gimple. It was ultimately James's choice to make the move. Quote, Gimple talked about his new role of overseeing both shows, and then he said, how would you like to continue the story of Morgan and Fear the Walking Dead? James told Digital Spy in an interview. Quote, we just started talking about it over the next couple weeks and months as there was a lot to take on board. It wasn't a case of this is going to happen. It was genuinely a case of what I thought about it. There was absolutely a choice. It also wasn't a case of being, if it wasn't me or it wasn't Morgan, then it would be somebody else. They were very much saying, we were thinking about doing this thing, and if you're really not up for it, then we will go in a completely different direction. That's kind of nice to hear, as with there being a fair amount of bad blood among certain decisions regarding the cast lately, Carl being killed off against his will. I don't know what they mean by against his will. I was pretty sure Chandler Riggs wanted the break because he was starting college, but I digress. Maggie possibly leaving because of contract disputes, and I'm not sure what's up with that lately either. So I'm glad to see that James was offered this decision as a choice rather than an ultimatum. But why would he do it? Leave it to go to a lower profile show. Having already seen James in the first two episodes of Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, and I guess, you know, this reviewer has already seen the preview tonight, I have to say it was a good call. One, because Fear the Walking Dead has turned into a pretty incredible show over the course of the past season, and Season 4 seems just as good. It is genuinely a better production than The Walking Dead at this point. This is the author's opinion. Better shot, written, and acted, and it's possible that James watched it and also realized this was the case. But past that, this allows James to have an expanded role compared to the massive ensemble of The Walking Dead Classic. While James certainly gets some measure of screen time on Walking Dead currently, heading to Fear the Walking Dead, he's almost co-leading the show alongside Madison and her family. This should prove to be a much bigger part where he's given more lines and freedom. It also probably frees him from his comic death, and we're not reading that. So, at any rate, the summary of it is that Morgan is one of the characters that did not follow the arc that was in the comics. He has a completely different death theme, and we're not going to fool with it because that's not what the show is doing. So, we'll skip down. This new role seems like a guarantee that he's not going to be killed off for a while. I doubt AMC would go to all the trouble to move Morgan over to Fear only to just kill him off at the end of the season or something. Rather, the plan seems to be pretty obvious. At some point in the future, whether it's this year or in years to come, Morgan being the link between the two shows will probably bring them together. My hunch is on him taking Madison and crew east to meet up with Rick. If so, that quite literally makes him the most important person in the entire series right now. And this was a good move by Lenny James. He's great in Fear the Walking Dead from what I've seen, and I think it's the best decision for his character as well, as he's elevated his status, jumped to a better program, and may prove integral to the future of the whole series. Not a bad deal at all. I can see why he took it. And that's actually the whole article, so I'll queue up something in the meantime. But we do have 2 minutes before we go live, probably a minute and a half by now. So I was able to get through that whole article, so I will queue up the next one. And that is the one I mentioned to you guys I didn't get to read that talks about time jumps. So we can get into a little bit better explanation about that at the first break. So it's 8:59, and we are just waiting for that to happen right now. Looking over, we're not quite there yet. We're at the part where our heroes are holding up our new hero. And I'm not sure what's up with that, so I assume we'll find out tonight because I was actually kind of upset. So, anyway, I'm moving the article link down to the bottom so I don't read it later. And then I've pulled up the new article, and I'm going to freeze that right there so I can talk to you guys at the first break, which should be happening any second. Now, we are having the sort of trailer for tonight's episode right now, and then I'm sure we're going to go live. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and mute myself, and I'll see you guys at the first break. Hi, guys. It's 9:05, and we are at the first commercial break, so let's go ahead and get those scores up, guys. I am going to go with a 5.75 for that. A little bit interesting. Oh, Kelly's going to 6.5. Okay, cool. And I'm sure we'll hear from Joan in a hot minute. Everybody was commenting on the use of color in the opening of the episode. It is significantly brighter in color than typically is done, definitely on the Fear of the Walking Dead and also mostly on Walking Dead Classic. So, you know, Kelly thinks it may be supposed to symbolize hope. We'll see. Jonas mentioned baseball field, reference to Diamond, I'm guessing. Yes, I assumed this as well. I figured it was a baseball stadium. And Jones says, looks like they've been there a while, given all the stuff they accomplished. Although if they've been there a while, I don't know why they still have walkers down in the bottom, unless that is supposed to be a protection where they stay up in the stadium and the walkers keep people who break into the stadium occupied. Kelly says, is it a school, do you think? No, I don't think. I think it's a minor league baseball stadium. And Joan has scored 6, so we got 5.75 from me, 6 from Joan, 6.5 from Kelly. So we kind of even each other out. But often I have found on these episodes, a lot of our regulars tend to see things in similar ways. So that's fun. And I'm going to see if I got time to run over to the article real quick. So this is from, it's posted on Yahoo, but it's from Digital Spy. And it was written by Justin Harp on April 5th. And it says, Fear the Walking Dead star hints at time jumps in season 4. I'm checking the TV to see if I'm having another commercial so I have time. Yes, we're doing, looks like Wendy's. Okay. So, Fear the Walking Dead's Alicia Debnam Carey has offered yet more hints that the 4th season will include time jumps. There has been speculation that timeline for upcoming episodes will catch up with the parent series The Walking Dead, thus explaining how Lenny James can make the jump between the two shows as Morgan Jones. Alicia Debnam Carey told Digital Spy during a recent set visit in Austin, Texas, that there will definitely be shifting timelines in upcoming episodes, giving her a chance to explore different sides of her character, Alicia. And I may have partially read this to you guys because it sounds a little familiar, but I'm going to read it again. That's fine. Although at the moment, it looks like we're having a trailer for Badlands, Into the Badlands, so we may be going back in a minute. Yes, we are. So I will stop, and I'll talk to you guys at break number 2. A little longer segment. This time it's 9:19, and we are at our second break. And apparently on The Talking Dead tonight, Kim Dickens, who plays Madison, will be there, as well as a surprise cast member. I don't know from which show. So we will see. Everybody's got their scores up. I had 5.75 last time. I'm going to give this 6.5. Joan is 6.5. Kelly is up to 7 already. Apparently we're really in love with this episode. This is fine. Let's see about the notes. So, Joan remarked in between the last time and this time. Okay, so they've been there a year. Now we just need to get the background on how they got out of the water. Whoops, I need to stop the scroll back because I lost your comment. Oh, how they got out of the water at the dam and into the diamond, etc. Yeah. Kelly says, you were right. It's just a baseball stadium. I was wondering about the bedrooms, but I guess they built them over the last year. Yes, I think they did modify it. Also, just as a side note, I was squeeing because I have a favorite model Suburban, which is the 88s, late 80s, where they had the power window in the back. And they don't make that anymore. It makes me very sad because they used to have one. So Kelly says, I guess they intend a lot of flashbacks this season to fill in the gaps. And yes, I do have an article queued up if we get time that's going to talk about that. I was speculating about the flags or sheets or whatever that have the numbers on them. Okay. So I was wondering if it was walkers killed. Jones says it might be number of walkers contained. Except didn't we have that one flag with the 57 on it in the trailer park in the last episode? It might have been the ones that were spilling out of that one trailer. Kelly also adds, weevils are leaf eaters. They would have eaten all the leaves before they even started on the roots. Yes, very good point. So I had an article I'm holding for you guys where we're talking to Alicia Debnam Carey about the time jumps, and we still have a commercial, so I'm going to try to continue. So, quote, I can't get into too much, but there is an exciting element of this season, in particular in the first half, where you play a lot with time, so you get to see Alicia in very different points of who she is as a character, and then in time. And they're very, very different. They're filmed very differently. They look very different, and they're filmed really differently, and they look different, she explained. I'm kind of giggling because obviously she's repeating herself quite a bit, and I'm not sure what that was, nerves or something. So, quote, "That's really exciting. It's something I've never seen attempted in any of the Walking Dead universes, but even really on any other show on TV at the moment." And yes, at the moment, because I'm sure there has been in the past. There's also a lot of dramatic changes happening for her. She's growing and learning. I think we've seen her become something of an apocalyptic badass. She's able to handle herself pretty well now, but these steps it up. These step it up a whole new level. Let's see how we're doing in the commercial. Okay. Alicia would go into specific detail, or would not, pardon me, go into specific detail about the changes that viewers will see in Alicia, but she did tip a creative shift that she says she's been pushing for. Quote, "Ever since the beginning of the show, I've always had the role of a young teenage girl," she said. "I believe you can do a lot with that if you put it out there, say what you want, ask for things, ask for different material, be invested and an active member of the show." And I'm going to pause because we are back. I'll see you at break number three. Okay, 9:27, and we are at the third break. That was a little bit shorter. I'm going to go ahead and put my score up. I'm going 6-7-5, but I have frozen the score back because I wanted to finish the comments. So we've noticed in the prior scene, where the hell are all the walkers? There are no walkers. Now, obviously, there's some in those bins, towers. I don't know what the proper noun is for those, but there's obviously some in there, but I'm not sure how that happened. So hopefully in the next scene we'll get to it. The prior scores were 6-7-5, 7-6-5. Joan was 6-5. Kelly was 7. I was 6-5 also. We've noticed on the couch is going to be Kim, who plays Madison, and another surprise cast member. And Kelly has commented, "I'm glad they're fleshing out the cast. I didn't think Madison or Offspring were capable of carrying the show," and Joan agrees. And I was kind of ew about the falling into the sewage or whatever that was in that tower. Yuck. Okay, so Joan is 7 for this round. Kelly's 7-5, I'm at 6-7-5. And Kelly said, "I can't believe no one got bitten." Yes, I'm actually mildly astounded by that. And Jonah's remarked, "Someone seems to be collecting walkers and keeping them in oil silos. Ew." Also, I have to remark, it is my personal opinion. I don't know this for a fact anywhere. Nobody else has said it. But you know how the Walking Dead classic tends to do pay-ins to classic zombie movies, especially Walking Dead scenes that are famous. So the walkers in there coming out reminds me very much of Return of the Living Dead with the tar man down in the basement early in the first movie. So I actually consider that a pan to another zombie movie. That's my personal opinion. I have the Alicia Dunham Carey article, and we do have another commercial, so I'm going to go back to it. So what I was saying before I stopped, since we were back, she says, "I was quite active in asking what I wanted and what I like as they listen and they're receptive to it. My favorite thing about the time jump on the show is that if you have a specific change," that can happen to your character. "One of the hardest things about this show is that it moves slowly and in such minute terms, it's always about the detail. With the time jump, it's fun because you can have a specific change. Whether that comes from the writers or from a character's perspective, you have the license to do it, even if it was just to cut off your hair." So that's the end of that article where she's talking about there's going to be use of time jumping around to make this all sync up, which I'm happy to hear because I had been seriously bent about the change for that exact reason. Now we have a trailer for Into the Badlands, which means we're probably going back. So I'm stalling to see if that's true. And we are. So I will see you guys at break number four. Okay, guys, it is 9:40. I can't remember if we're on break four or break five. If anybody in the chat remembers, let me know. Joan is at 7. Kelly is at 7.55. Honey, that's shaving a hair. Okay, 7.5. I guess she has hit a key too much. I'm at 7.25. I've been running a little lower than others tonight, and it's not that I dislike the show, because, I mean, we're actually pretty close in scores, but I just found that kind of interesting, because typically I tend to overbid. I was going to read some comments in between the last two things. Jonas said, the leaves on the turnips look really nasty, too. No one noticed. It doesn't bode well for their farming talents. And I mentioned they weren't exactly farmers in L.A. Kelly says she knows something. I think that's a reference to the little girl, Charlie. Joan says, yeah, I'm starting to think the kid is part of a setup. Yeah, well, that's kind of interesting considering how the last scene just ended. Kelly has mentioned he doesn't want to get lost again, remembers addiction issues in the Walker brainstems. Talking about Nick, because Nick is sort of flipping out. And we had all kind of lost sight of that for a while. It's been a while. And we'd kind of forgotten that, yeah, Nick was getting real involved in that sort of thing before the end of last season. And Jonah mentioned if this is the fear version of the Saviors. I don't know. That's entirely possible. One of the things I've remarked about this show is that it shows this sort of thing. We have a behavior in Western society, at least, where when things like this happen, you have a resurgence of those types of enclaves or communities, stuff like the Terminus people and the governor and his people and Negan and the Saviors and that kind of stuff. So anyway, I have an interview pulled up. I don't have any articles for this week's stuff, but I have some of the AMC interviews with cast members, and I've pulled up one Walking Dead Q&A with Lenny James, who plays Morgan. It was actually posted by Siobhan Bell 6 months ago, so last season. And I'm just going to pull that up and see if we have time to nibble at on that in between. So it seems like we do kind of check the chat room, see if we have anything left. Okay, just scoring. So we'll start. Question, as someone who appears in the very first episode, what was it like being a part of the 100th episode? And this is of talking about Walking Dead. They're just getting to the transition. 6 months ago, they hadn't announced that Lenny was the one that was going to move yet. They're probably not going to talk about that. So, answer. It was a chance for us to take the moment and look at what we've done and how far we've come. For me, having been there on the first episode and then on the 100th episode, added a particular perspective in the journey and on the show. It was good to acknowledge that and to acknowledge the work that both the cast and crew have been putting in. Question. How different was it filming the first episode versus the 100th? Answer. With the first episode, we were filming on a planet we had never been to before. We didn't know whether or not the show would get a second season, let alone 7 more. We did 6 episodes in the first season, and I only did one of them. At that particular moment, I had no guarantees or real sense that my job on the show hadn't ended at that moment. Now it's a completely different beast. We had no idea if we would be successful in making the show we wanted to, or the audience would like to watch. Sorry about that. We had no comprehension that they'd be as committed to it as they have been. We have an understanding of ourselves now in the world that we didn't have before. It's exactly the same, and it's completely different. And I'm checking to see how we are. We're in a super commercial. And we are back to The Walking Dead, strangely. So I'll see you guys at either break 5 or break 6, whichever one it was. Hey guys, break number 5 or 6. I've still lost track. It's 9:53, so this is probably going to be our last one before the end of the evening. And I am at 7.25. Kelly's at 7.75. And Joan's at 7.5. And I'm going to grab a couple comments. Let's see. First off, you know, Joan and I think Kelly both had called it as far as the kid was a trap or something funny going on. Let's see. So I remember listening in the walkie-talkies, that guy. Who is the guy that is challenging them? I've forgotten his name already. One of you guys probably caught it. This is probably the vultures that they were talking about tonight. And Jonah's commented, oh, honey, you have no idea how much they've been tested. No, clearly he does not. All right, so... Okay, that is a commercial break. Oh, for God of War, something. I don't really like that gaming thing. All right, let's go back to Lenny James. Q&A. Although, if we're at 9:54, you know, I don't know that we have time for that, actually. You know, I may just hold this till next week because we are actually almost at the end of the episode. Kelly says the guy is Mel. That's right. You are correct. I now remember he introduced himself or tried to. At any rate, so I'm just kind of stalling around and waiting for the commercial to be over because this is not actually listed as an extended episode. It is, or maybe it wasn't. Let me check. Let me check on that and see if that's actually true. I did not think I saw that, but it's possible I'm wrong. Wikia, Fear, Walking Dead, Diamond. Okay, yeah, that should pick it up. Another Day in the Diamond, Walking Dead, 69, I am not seeing commentary that indicates that this is an extended episode, so we should be wrapping it up any second now. And sorry for the stalling, but I really don't want to get into an article at this point. So we have Kevin Zegers as Mel. I guess he'll be a regular. Sebastian Sazi as Cole. Evan Gamble as TBA. I don't know what Evan's playing. I will have to look at his picture. I don't know. He kind of looks like Mel to me, but Kevin Zegers is Mel. So Rhonda Griffiths is Viv. And all right, we have a T-Mobile commercial now. The one time I don't want to read any more articles there. Doing a bunch of stuff to stall time, so it makes me feel like I should. I don't know, Kelly and Joan, if you have any observations to add to this tonight. Obviously, we found the vultures, and yay for the uncredited vultures that I found. Stalling because of the T-Mobile commercial at the moment. And hopefully, guys, go back to the show so we can just get this over. Okay, any second now. So we're having another one of those teaser trailer things for Into the Badlands. That's right. Okay, so it should be going back. 3, 2, 1, here we go. All right. See you guys at the end. Okay, guys, it is 10:02. That is the end of the episode. It's not extended. So final scores, I'm going to go 7.5. Kelly is 7.75. I'm sure we'll hear from Joan in a hot second. The guy out there talking to Madison that I couldn't remember, Kelly told me it was Mel. Joan is ending on 7.75. Also, okay, I'm going to hold the Lenny James article to next week so we can read it in its entirety. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. And I'll go ahead and let you go. Looks like we're not going straight into Talking Dead. So you guys may have to wait to see what that whole conversation is about. But at any rate, appreciate you guys being here with us to the end of the show. And don't forget to come next week for episode 3. So thank you guys and good night.